Hey, this is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi, and across from me sits Travis, and today we're going to talk about our boo-boos. I like me some Johnny Cash. Do you like that guy?
I like Johnny Cash.
One of the last songs that he, I guess he kind of re-recorded it, I don't know, but it was the one where, I think it's called Hurt, and it's by Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
And he did that thing, and his voice was all messed up, and he had some other brokenness that to his body, and it sounded like it wasn't going to make sense, but that is just a good song. You know, it goes, I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. And if you think about it, none of us can avoid pain. We all have pain. What makes people say, ouch? Maybe it's a paper cut for you. Do you like paper cuts?
Yeah. Depends on where it's at.
Wow.
If you get it in the webbing of your finger,
yeah,
that's
that
terrible.
Yeah. Maybe it's touching the old hot stove. I've been in a sauna a few times where the stove is so hot and radiating so much heat that it's like burning the hairs on your legs. That's never a fun one. We have this ability to feel pain, and pain is not necessarily a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. It's part of our body's function to tell us that something's wrong. And, you know, a painful throat could mean that you've caught a cold. A pain in the stomach might turn out to be a stomach bug or some other issues. Without these pains, it would be much harder to tell when and why people are sick. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting how much pain that we have. And it's not only physical pain, but there's also emotional pain that we have. For physical pain, I think just the ibuprofen. Are you an ibuprofen fan or
Ibuprofen doesn't work so much on me anymore because when I was in college, I overdosed on it. Like I would go back from football practice. I'd sit down on the couch with my gallon jug of water and pop 4 to 6 of those things. Probably not good for me, but it helped the pain.
They estimate that the global market of ibuprofen will hit $700 million this year. That's a pretty,
is that bottles or pills or
that's just pills.
Dang.
Like that's what the
just per year of use.
No, $7 million.
Oh, dollar. Yeah.
And depression market will hit about $13 billion.
Wow.
And so we have medicine for all kinds of things, but the reality is that we all have pain and we all have responses to pain, whether it's emotional or it is physical pain. There are emotional responses to pain. And one is if something happens to you and you feel bad about it, then you hurt the other person, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it be physically or with an emotional attack. It could be the volume of your words or the things that you say. There's, if you feel emotional pain, there's another way to do it. And you just kind of stuff it down.
Yep.
And you just stuff it and stuff it and stuff it, but that doesn't actually get to that. And maybe you blame something else or you blame someone else or whatever it may be. And then there is the other thing that we do with pain, and which is the wise thing to do with pain, and that is to diagnose it. And we have to diagnose, and the scripture gives us some understanding of how to look at it. One book of the Bible that really kind of goes through a case study of dealing with the problem of pain is Job.
Yeah.
But Proverbs also gives us some ideas and thoughts on what we're to do. In Proverbs 14:16, it says, "The wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure." What are we seeing here is that people who are foolish or people are evil people go through hard times, and ultimately they make mistakes, and they make these moments where they are hot-headed and they walk into a situation.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause that natural, I guess I won't say that it's a natural response. Maybe it's a learned response, but when you get hurt, to be defensive is an easy way to handle pain, whether even if it's physical. Like, you know, I think of times you get hurt and you let a little whoopsie word come out of your mouth, and
sure,
that kind of helps feel better. Or if it's more of that emotional stuff where you hear something that you don't really like from somebody that, you know, you care about, and you're snapping back with that. It makes me think of like you know, a dog that's been mistreated and they get taken to the shelter, well, every other person that comes around them, they're snarling and showing their teeth and barking at them. That's a learned response, but it's not, it doesn't end well.
Yeah, and the reality is that sometimes we cause our own pain. Proverbs 29 says, who can say I've kept my heart pure? I am clean. I'm without sin. 19:3 says, a person's own folly leads him to their ruin or to their pain, yet their hearts rage against the Lord. And so we start blaming God in there.
Yeah.
And the reality is we need to look at what is the cause of pain. And the second, I think, diagnostic question that the Bible gives us is, did someone sin against you and hurt you?
Mm-hmm.
And Proverbs 14:10 says, each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. The proverb says, each heart knows its own bitterness. The heart is tormented by these things. If somebody's hurt you, we feel that someone has sinned against us. It's saying we know this, and then it says we need to deal with it.
Yeah.
And because no one else, sometimes people don't even know that they've done the thing that they've done that hurt you. And it says no one else can share its joy. Bitterness robs us of life. It robs us of joy. Proverbs 23:17 says, do not let your hearts envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Our hearts have this natural inclination that we want to repay evil with evil.
Mm-hmm. And that's the hard part. I think that's 100% right. We want justice immediately, whether it's actually just or not, because we feel that sting of pain. And that's the easy response to go through. Like sitting there processing, why does this actually hurt? Does this person even know that they hurt me? You know, thinking more of the relational, emotional stuff. Like that takes some effort and that takes some work. And if we don't do that, there's a lot of responses like the snarling dog. Not every person that walks by in that shelter is there to hurt them. They're there to adopt them or help them or whatever. And when we're like that snarling dog with our pain, we're not going to heal. We're not going to be able to process it. We're not going to be able to. And, you know, like you said, it dings our relationship with the Lord too.
Yep. I think there's another one is a third diagnostic question. And that is, I think, pretty powerful is, what lies are you believing?
Mm-hmm.
And a truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. And we always think about that as being someone else who is witnessing it. But oftentimes it's the false narrative that we're creating in our own heads. And what lies are we making up, or what are we conjuring up? You know, well, that person did this and it hurt me. And you kind of eliminate some of the stuff that you did in the midst of that. Or it's not actually as bad as what we've made it out to be, because we've had these conversations because we have this pain, and it naturally comes out that we begin to talk through it and we begin to reminisce, if you will, over the situation that happened. And oftentimes I think we tell ourselves a false narrative.
Yeah. And when we, at least I know I often find when it's big life situations and it's not necessarily stuff that was like a relational pain that happened, but just a life pain, you know, something big happens. And you start to believe the lie that God just doesn't care anymore. You kind of get into that Job trench, and you're just like, man, God doesn't care. But you see all throughout the scripture that God does care. Hebrews 13:5 talks about he's never going to leave you or forsake you. His word is with you. He says his word said he's going to be with you no matter where you go. Psalm 139 talks about that. And in like God doesn't necessarily eliminate our opportunities for pain. Some of that's like what we said, we put ourselves in those situations, maybe made a wrong choice and sin put us in a path where there's consequences for that. Pain can be a great teacher too. You know, you talked about the hot sauna stove. You know, when our kids touch something hot when they're little, we don't want that to happen for them, but they usually only do it once because of that response to pain.
Yeah. When we're hurting though, I think we're most susceptible to lies.
Mm-hmm.
And because life is kind of confusing in that moment, if you get your bell rung, you're kind of confused. Or, you know, recently we were playing basketball and I stepped, I think, on your foot or Big Steve's foot and I sprained my ankle. And like, I didn't care about anything else in that moment. all I cared about was that pain that was just surging. I was like almost confused in that moment. And I think when that happens, I think that there are right things that we know that are there, But there is a spiritual attack almost on us.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to get even, or we want to cut that person off, you know, mafia style.
Yeah.
You know, even if they ask for forgiveness, we really don't want to extend that forgiveness to them. And even if they don't ask for it, you know, we don't want to have that conversation of what just happened.
Yeah.
And even kind of go into that conversation, or even if we go in there and they say, no, that's not, and there's a whole nother kind of issue and tension, really giving that over to God, we don't want to do that. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And we don't really believe that and hold to that in those moments, because the pain is there and we just want to rid ourselves of that.
Yeah. And one of those lies can be that revenge is sweet, you know?
Yeah.
I think with the pain thing, you know, our response, it puts us in a vulnerable spot. Because if it's a physical injury of pain, you look at the animal kingdom, and if you've got like a deer with a broken leg, like they gone pretty quick. The coyotes right. are going to come after them. And when we're in a state of emotional pain or spiritual pain, I think it sets us up in places where we're more tempted to do things that we shouldn't. You know, I think of dealing with some young guys that I've had conversations, multiple guys. This isn't just a one-off issue, but like with the issue of pornography, a lot of the times when they slide back into that temptation, they're feeling hurt, angry, sad, lonely. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to justify like, well, you know, I just deserve this, or life's so bad that I just need this outlet.
Yeah. Jesus talks a little bit about this. And my mom used to tell me, like, she would say things like, when I got in trouble and she was asking me if I was telling the truth, she said, well, the truth will set you free and also get you a whooping, is yeah. what I was thinking in my head. But I think what he was saying is there, the truth sets you free. You have set yourself up to believe lies. And that will, and it'll actually multiply your pain by not going and talking to that person, by not confronting that situation, or by not saying you're sorry for your part in that situation. Mm-hmm. You actually set yourself up for an ongoing pain, or a chronic pain, if you will.
Yeah. Especially in those situations where the other person doesn't know that they've hurt you or upset you, and you're just stewing on it and you're dwelling on it. You know, it's what's the adage on that forgiveness, not giving forgiveness is keeping yourself, like keeping yourself in jail, and the other person is just running free because they have no idea. And so you've got to have those hard conversations sometimes. But that's after you process things and look at like what exactly happened, what's my part in it? Because usually there's not a scenario where it's 100% somebody's fault.
Yeah, I think that these lies that are being told and the pain that we feel is part of the brokenness of the world in which we live.
Mm-hmm.
And then it begins to become a part of the pattern of our thinking, and it becomes a part of the pain that we feel. And I believe that it's real pain, right? Like there's real disconnect with, you know, sometimes reality through that pain.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to places where our internal witness lead us in a direction. And I think truly that's how things like suicide happen.
Yeah.
That thought process wasn't the moment they did it for most people, I think, is really a completion of the process of it rather than just a spur of the moment thing. There's been pain going on for a long time in that yeah. person. And if you're out there and you're listening to this and that's you, just call somebody, get some help on that. There's all kinds of free help, dial help, all of those things. Because truly, it is a false narrative that you're believing. You are worth it. God loves mm-hmm. you. He cares about you in that. Another question I think that the Bible almost dictates that we ask as a diagnostic question is, how has life broken you?
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 15:13 says, a happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. He says the face is often a picture of what's going on in the heart.
Mm.
Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
Like when we're downtrodden, we're doing the Eeyore shuffle. I think that there is, it's really actually a product of what's kind of going on in our hearts, and really asking like, why are we there? What has happened? You can look at someone and they're just beaming though. And you're going, man, what's going on with them? Right?
Yeah.
Like I want some of that action, right?
Some of that juice.
And then you can look at someone else and you can just see the pain on their face, because the face really reveals the heart is what that passage is saying. He's talking about our heart where the spirit is crushed. At various points, we all experience this. It's emotional. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe it's relational. And it's not that the person has sinned. It's just the world is broken, and it didn't work out the way we thought it was going to be. And this is where you really love your spouse and they get sick.
Yeah.
This is where you really love your kids and they go prodigal. This is where you are really good with your finances and your investment broker steals it all, right? Like, and you're just, it just crushes you inside. It's not like you did something in particular, and then it just happens, and there's this brokenness. And why is it there, and how do you walk through that? Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. This says that a broken spirit zaps your energy. This is when life has broken you to a point where you're just tired.
Mm-hmm. I think we all get to those points in our lives, and whether it's, you know, we're talking about just different kinds of pain. It could be physical pain. It could be emotional pain or circumstantial, just with, like you said, the brokenness of the world. And I think one of the keys to kind of digging out of that, or at least regaining a perspective, and this is one of those work things to do, is just reexamining the healing power of the cross. Like Isaiah, I'm thinking of the passage in Isaiah 53, where it says that surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities and chastised for our peace. That's a huge thing. Like, when we get into those dark places and that kind of spiral of depression, we lose sight of the grace of God and the fact that Jesus suffered for us. And it was not because of his iniquities or the things that he did, because he lived a perfect life, but he took all of our crap for us and bore it on the cross. And when you start to see like how much you've been given and how blessed really that we are, like, it changes your heart perspective. It's kind of that idea of finding contentment in circumstances when they're even not good. And you can find story after story about that in the scriptures, you know, Paul in prison, still being prayerful and praising of God's goodness. Like, it's hard to come out of that place though, when you just kind of go into the cave and live in the hole by yourself. You need to bring others around you, like you were saying before. If you're in that place, if you're in those moments and it just feels dark and lonely, you got to get help. You got to reach out. You've got to do that work.
Yeah, I think a lot of pain, we think it's external circumstances, but the reality of the pain, it sets in internally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where it really becomes difficult, is when it's starting to set in, is asking those questions. Did I cause this? Or is it something that's done to me? Or is it just the brokenness of the world in which we live? Just like a physical bone, the heart can be broken, and it needs someone who is wise to reset it. It needs a lot of care and grace to allow it to heal properly. I think that's where friends come in that will ask good questions. Wise counsel is often talked about. Sometimes we pay for that. It's called a counselor. A counselor's worth its weight in gold, because they can ask good questions and they can push us in a direction. They're not just giving advice, but they're asking questions of what's going on actually internally. They're helping us to diagnose where that pain is coming from. And I think when we don't have some of those things, or we don't practice some of those things, that's when we get into trouble.
Yeah. And I like that, because Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And that's one of my favorite verses out of Proverbs. And he says, seek wise counsel. You don't have to do this on your own. You shouldn't do it on your own. There are challenges in life that are better in community, better with friends, better with people around you that love you and love Jesus to help you through that, than just facing it as a wolf pack of one.
Yeah, I think one of the questions that, another diagnostic question that the scriptures ask, is who or what do we fear?
Mm.
And Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Some of the most prescribed pills in America are pills that help us with anxiety that weighs down our hearts. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things, but they're really a cover up for something else that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not bad. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes it's a chemical imbalance. There's lots of things. We live in a broken world. So we're not saying that that's bad. We're just saying that when we have that anxiety, where is that coming? It's usually a fear of something. It's a fear for our children. It's a fear of a virus. It's a fear of the in-laws at the house. you know, it's a fear of change. It's a fear of social situation. It's a fear of getting older. It's a fear that we won't have enough. And we have fear of going to the doctors, fear of going to the dentist, fear of our relationships. What if it doesn't last? We fear, fear, fear. We have all kinds of things that we fear. Fear of tomorrow robs us of joy of today.
Mm-hmm.
And so, What do we fear? Well, the Bible tells us to fear, but it tells us only to fear
God. Yeah,
it says fear God, and it means really respect Him. That He's got this. He is sovereign, and He is good, and He is loves me. And preaching that gospel to yourself that is true. That God is in this, and He knows me, and He understands my pain right now, and giving and releasing that to Him, releasing the control of whatever situation you are to Him, is part of us walking on that path that you're talking about.
Yeah, and Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And when we get to those fearful places, there is no peace, and there is no understanding, because our world doesn't make sense. It's broken. It's sinful. It's not the way that it's supposed to be. It's marred by a bazillion different bad things, but it's only God through His Son Jesus that we can have peace.
Yeah. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe, is in Proverbs. And then Proverbs 3:24 says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. And I think as more we release control to God, and really in those situations where we can't control, and the reality is none of us can control really all that much.
Mm-hmm.
We can't, we have an illusion of control, but we can't control anything. And just releasing that, our kids, our finances, our relationships to Him, and really bathing that and going, God, they're yours. Help me to do the next right thing. I think is a really important part of letting some of that anxiety go. That's good news you can use.
Thanks for hanging out with us this week. We enjoyed having you guys check in with us. If there's another topic that you'd like us to address, or if you've got some questions or comments, we would love to hear from you. Shoot me an email, travis@evangelup.org. If you want to catch up on any previous Pearls and Swine episodes that have aired here on Good News You Can Use, you can always find those. Search Evangel Houghton on your podcast device, or you can go to evangelup.org and find those on our website as well.